Parshas Yisro, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh begins the Parsha by noting the decision to have Yisro teach the lessons of setting up a government, which was to highlight to all future generations that yes, it's true, among the nations of the world there are a lot of people who are, as we can say, Gedolim Bahavana, that they have a tremendous amount of knowledge about the world. But Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs Shalita points out that the role of this message is to highlight to us that there is, as the Gemara says in Megillah, Chachma Bagoyim, that there is some knowledge. There are facts that exist in the world. But as far as having a Torah to teach the laws of how the world runs, the nations of the world are not gifted with that as well. Rabbi Sachs uses this idea to highlight why it is that Yisro had to be the one to provide the facts about how to judge the Jewish people, but he wasn't given the principles to make it into Jewish law. Similarly, Rabbi Sachs says, he doesn't like the term limudei chol to describe secular studies. There is no such thing as secular studies. There's nothing in life that's chol. Either it's kodesh or it's tameh. A more correct form, says Rabbi Sachs, would be chochma, a means of understanding the Ribono Shel Olam and his place within the world. Anyway, so Moshe and Yisro meet one another, vayishtachu, vayishaklo, vayishalu ish l'reyu l'shalom, they exchange greetings to one another, vayavo l'oala, and they came into a tent. The late great Rav Avos Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, notes that the proper way to bring one closer to the tent of Torah is by beginning with the words of Shalom, with greeting one another in a good spirit and with good meaning, at the same time with a certain sense of emuna in He whose name is Shalom. The Rav Avos Ephraim adds that this is a great challenge nowadays, where we have a lot of Bnei Yisrael who are far from Torah. The only way to be Mekariv people is if we do so Vayishalu ish l'reyu l'shalom. He adds that it's fundamental even when we're not that far from Torah, when we have Jews who are off somewhat in their religious observance. If they see the she'ela of ish el reyehu l'shalom, they are more likely to come be'o'ala shel Torah. Bottom line, Yisro and Moshe get involved in a major debate. And Yisro tells Moshe, Hayei ata la'am mul ha'elokim, that you should be for the nation in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the great Rav Sabato Shalita points out that there was a certain fundamental misunderstanding between Yisro and Moshe about how Torah leadership is supposed to work. Yisro assumed that Torah leaders need to be images who do not dwell on the day-to-day activities of the people. Moshe disagreed. Moshe understood that to be a good Torah leader, one must also be able to judge an honest judgment, whether the cost was a dollar, and a dispute over a dollar, or a debate over a million. According to Moshe, Judaism is about using the day-to-day operations of life and day-to-day disagreements for Jewish betterment and tzedek. Judgment allows tzedek to reign tall and proud and to be mekadesh shem shamayim. It's no less important than prophecy, whose goal, too, is to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, then we come to the Mamad Har Sinai story, and we read about how Bnei Yisrael stood besach the Sahar, how they stood underneath the mountain, and Rashi cites the Gemara's famous comment, that Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, that God raised the mountain over the heads of Bnei Yisrael, and told them if they accepted the Torah, great, and if not, Sham Tehek Vuraschem, your kever will be over there, you will be buried there. The commentaries abound as to why the word Shum, which means there, was used, and not Kan, here, or Po, right here. The late great Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Shmulevitz used to note that people used to wait to undertake certain responsibilities until they get Shum, until they get to a particular point in the future. The trick is to recall that the very declaration of Shum, of going to a particular place, is a burial for worthy opportunities. Because if you wait until you get Shum, you will never undertake what you have to do. In fact, Mamad Har Sinai presents a certain unadulterated opportunity. Maran Rav Shechter Shalita often pointed out to us that Karbanos and Tefillah and Talmud Torah are the most unique means of interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the reason for that is that during those times, the person is purely interacting with Hashem like an Eved serving his master. Karbanos, Tefillah, and Talmud Torah are also the ones that are referred to in the context of Avoda, of service. and I believe that they are also all connected to Mamad Har Sinai as well. When we get to the Aseres HaDibros, we read of the very first of the Dibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. And there is a famous medrash that's replayed many times at Chumash place throughout the Torah world, which reminds us that prior to the Jews receiving the Torah, God went to each and every nation to see if each nation would accept the Torah. Edom refused because they couldn't accept the prohibition against murder. Bnei Yishmael couldn't accept the prohibition against stealing. So what was the point? If anyway, at the end of the day, Hashem comes to the Jews, but we don't find Him going ahead and asking them and challenging them. Why would this be an ultimate answer? And the wonderful tzaddik Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Shalita quotes the famous Rav Yitzchak Meir of Gur, who notes that each one of the mitzvos that were selected for each of the nations was directed to challenge their very natures, to see if the nation would be willing to subvert its very psychological drive in order to follow the word of Hashem. For Bnei Edom, they have to be able to withstand savagery. For Yishmaelim, they have to be able to withstand theft. For Jews, our challenge is skepticism. And hence, the challenge came in the very first declaration, Anochi Hashem, to which the Jew should respond. Says who? Then we say, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai, on my face. And Rav Yitzchak Kappelman of Lucerne, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, points out that the use of the phrase Al Panai is a reminder to us that man always stands in front of Hashem. And thus, when man sins, he sins Lifanecha. And that's what we note in our davening on Yom Kippur. And it's precisely that lack of awareness that we stand before God that allows us to sin. We are required to recall Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Finally, in the context of the Haftorah, we read from Yishayahu Anavi and his introduction into and foray into Nevuah, and we read how he declares, Oyali kinit mesi, ki ish temes vasayim anochi. Rav Avram Rivlin Shalita, the Mashgiach in Karim Biavne, asks, what was the tale of woe all about, and why would the malach's use of coal on Yishayahu's lips heal him? Rav Rivlin answers that Yishayahu was punished for speaking badly about Am Yisrael, and he was thus cleansed through a ritzpah, because unlike other coals, a ritzpah continues to glow on the inside long after the outside of the coal is burned out. Lashon Hara also continues to burn long after the outside act has been done. The lesson, therefore, becomes important for us to remember. Not only are acts things that we have to protect ourselves against, but the results of the acts are things we need to correct ourselves for as well. Shabbat Shalom to all.